Maybe we could start by singing some songs from the back of the hymn sheet. If anyone wants to give one out. Glad TIDINGSIBRING.
Glad JASUS has come to save me. And he calls, and he calls all the GIRLS, and he wants all the OYS to hear GIRUSTNN and have all their sins now washed away.
Another one? When he cometh,
when he cometh to make up his jewels, all his jewels, precious jewels, his love and his own, like the stars of the morning, they shall shine.
Someone has one. Kids have any experience with being short, but I do. So, I figured first I'd tell you about how I was always short. So I have a twin brother named Ben, who's here, and so we were born at the same time, and he was always at least 6 inches taller than me. I don't know if he still is, but he was always way taller than me. And so my shortness was a problem. Sometimes people would ask for someone to reach for something, and I could never help because I was too short. And but eventually I got a little taller. He's still taller than me. But I want to point out this. If you guys didn't see this, there's a chocolate bar hanging up there. And I want to talk about being short. Does anyone know of someone who is short in the Bible?
Zacchaeus.
Zacchaeus. So maybe we'll look at the story of Zacchaeus really quickly. That's in Luke 19. So in Luke 19, you have the story of Zacchaeus. So he was a chief among the publicans, and I believe he was a tax collector. So he'd go around door to door, and he'd knock on people's doors, and he'd say, time to pay your taxes. So right now when we pay taxes, what we do is we fill out a form and send it into the government and with whatever, however much money we're supposed to pay. At least that's what we do in the U.S. But they would come around, they'd knock on doors and say, pay your taxes. And they would just tell you how much you owed. So what you could do, if you were corrupt, if you were a bad guy, you could say, give me $10 when it was only $5, and just put the rest in your pocket, and you could become rich. So a lot of these publicans were rich, I believe. Well, Zacchaeus was one of these people. So you don't know if he's bad or good, but we'll read about his practices in tax collecting. But see where a good spot to start is. So Zacchaeus heard that the Lord Jesus was coming to town, and he wanted to see the Lord Jesus. So I'll start with the first verse of chapter 19. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. So we know he was rich. We don't know if he was stealing to get rich. But and he sought to see Jesus, who he was and could not for the press because he was little of stature. So he was short. And if Jesus walked by, there'd be lots of crowds around him. And he wouldn't be able to see over their heads, and he wouldn't even see him. He would know he was there, but he wouldn't see him. So it says, verse 4, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. When they saw it, they all murmured, saying, he's gone to be a guest with a man that's a sinner. So everyone saw the Lord Jesus going with Zacchaeus to his house and said, he's going to eat with a sinner. That's wrong, because they assumed Zacchaeus was a sinner, which he was, but because he was a publican. So he had a bad reputation. Verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation, come to this house. So, I'll stop there. So Zacchaeus, we find out, isn't such a bad publican. It says that half of his goods, even though he's rich, half of everything he had, he would give to poor people. Not many rich people might do that today. And then it says, if I've taken anything by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. He says that if he had asked for $10 and they were only supposed to give $5, he would give them four times that much. He would give them $20 back to make sure that he didn't rip them off and take money from them wrongly. So he was a pretty good person, it seems like. But the Lord Jesus still says, this day is salvation come to this house. So even though he was a good person, still he had to be saved like anyone else. So now I want to try something. So who's the tallest here? Which one? Maybe you can stand up and compare. I don't think it's going to work. I think he's a little taller. All right. Without jumping, can you reach that? Barely. We'll say you can't reach it. All right.
No.
All right. Who is the shortest here?
Me.
You want to try reaching for it? We'll help you out. We'll even give you a little help.
Yep.
Don't worry. Okay. Try to reach it here. Hold on. Okay, still can't reach it. All right, you can get down now. How about that? All right, so no one could reach it, and she couldn't even reach it when she had a little help, a little ladder to step up on. So maybe someone's taller can reach it. Maybe we'll have my brother Ben, who's taller than me. Very tall. See if he can reach it. Oh, he can. Good. Maybe we'll give him that. Oh, we have more smaller ones. See how I have to stand on my tiptoes, but Ben can just reach it. There you go. So someone tall could reach it. But you know what the Bible says about us? The Bible says we're all short. Does anyone think of the verse I'm thinking of? It says we're all short. Samuel. Romans 3:23. Let's read it. Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that's not talking about our actual height, is it? So what's that talking about?
Short in
Yeah, the thought is that that none of us can reach God in the sense of His holiness. So God is perfect. And we know from the Old Testament, even from Genesis, very first book in the Bible, that God wants to be with man. He wants man to be with Him. But God, man is a sinner, and so he falls short. And so it doesn't matter your physical height, but you fall short because you're a sinner. So even the tallest person in this room has fallen short of the glory of God. And you know what? Maybe we try to get a little help. So it's not a ladder because that's for physical height, but say we think that, you know, if we are good or just do enough, maybe it's just come to meeting and sing the songs, sit in the front row in Sunday school, and, you know, be good. Or maybe we think we can try, maybe because our parents are saved, that we'll be saved. I'll tell you a little story about me. When I was saved, I think I was 4 years old, and I came up to my oldest brother. We were in our tree fort. It wasn't a tree fort. It was just a fort we were in. And I asked him, I said, can you get saved for me? He said, no. So then I went and asked my second oldest brother, and he said no as well, and told me I had to do it myself. And so I did, and I was saved. But just like getting a ladder for help, we cannot get help from anyone else for salvation. It's individual, it's personal. And, you know, if we try, anything we try and do is worth nothing, even if it's good. Even if we do something good, it's worth nothing. If you turn to Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 64. And verse 6. It says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So isn't it strange that even if it's something good we do, it's as a filthy rag? So even if we're nice to our brother or sister, even if we give something to someone, give them a toy, or even like Zacchaeus, he would give back four times as much if he took it. He'd give back $20 if he only took five. And yet, still it says, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So it's a serious thing not to be saved, not to put our trust in the Lord, because even anything, any good thing we do is not worth anything if it's not, if we're not saved. I want to read another verse about about being short in Luke again. So it's in Luke chapter 12. Luke 12, verse 25 says, and which of you, taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? So anyone know what a cubit is? I believe a cubit is the distance from the bottom of your elbow to your finger. So it's more than a foot, but it depends on the person. But I think that's a cubit. Someone can correct me if I'm wrong. But it asks, who of you, just taking a thought, in other words, if you could just think, could you make yourself taller? And the answer is obviously no. You know, when I was always short as a kid, my grandma always told me, you know what, someday you're going to be taller. Someday you're going to be taller. So I thought about that, and I hoped and hoped I'd be taller than Ben. But I was never taller. And because you can't think and add to your height. And, you know, that's the same with our salvation, that we can't just think and we'll be saved. You know, we can't just think and try hard to be good and then we'll be acceptable to God. there's only one way to be saved. And that is by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we know what happened where God wanted to be with man, but man had fallen short, right, of the glory of God. He could not be in God's presence, as we had last night in the gospel meeting. And so because man was a sinner, remember Adam and Eve when they sinned? They were in the garden, and they took the fruit which they shouldn't have taken, and God kicked them out of the garden. So they couldn't come back in. And God had walked in the garden, you know, and He was with them, but He could no longer be with them because they were sinners. Well, God came up with a plan so that everyone could be with Him. And that was that He sent His Son to die for us. And the Lord Jesus bore the punishment that we deserved. But we still have to accept because we still fall short. The Lord Jesus bore that punishment. But we need to accept His offer of salvation. And if we do, we'll be accepted in Him. So, does anyone know what it means to be accepted in the Beloved? It says, the Bible says that we are accepted in the Beloved. Or accepted in the Lord Jesus. Does anyone know what that means? I'll explain it. So when God looks at us, He sees that we've fallen short, or too short. But now, because we've been saved, because the Lord Jesus took our place, God looks at the Lord Jesus, and He does not fall short. And so we're accepted in Him, because He took our place. So it's very simple to be saved, but there's so many that don't take advantage of it. And they fall short. Now, does anyone know why in the Old Testament, does anyone know that why in the Old Testament believers could be saved even though the Lord Jesus hadn't died yet? Well, they had new life, and they trusted in God, and they had new life. But I'm going to read a verse just in that same chapter of Romans, Romans 3. Romans 3, it's verse 25. Maybe the end of verse 24 says, Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. Now this is part of us to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. And so, that's talking about the Old Testament. So you think of all the Old Testament people that sinned. But God, the Lord Jesus had not come yet. So God had made a plan that we would be accepted in the Lord Jesus and no longer have to fall short. But yet, the Lord Jesus hadn't come yet. Well, it says here that they were covered under that work that was to come. So those people who believed in God and had new life, they were saved. It says, for the remission of sins that are past. So isn't that amazing that even though the Lord hadn't come, He still provided a way. He still provided a way that He could have man, boys and girls, men and women with Him. And that was because of His love, love for us. Now I want to read, so we have the positive side that we can be saved, but I want to read what happens to those who do not accept the Lord Jesus as their Savior. So it's in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And then I'll go to verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So what's going to happen in the coming day? That everyone is going to stand before God. And he's going to open up the book of life. And he's going to see if your name is written there. And he'll go through and he'll see my name in there because I'm saved. He's going to go through and he's going to look for your names. Everyone's name. And if our name is not in there, it says we'll be judged according to our works. Now, we've all done a lot of bad things. Probably those who are older have done more bad things. But those works will be reviewed. And we will be judged according to them if we're not saved. If we're saved, our sin has been taken away. It's been covered. But if not, we'll be judged by those things that we've done. And it says that whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. It's a serious thing. You know, it also says in other places about that final place for those who aren't saved, that it's black. It's dark. Blackness of darkness forever. And there won't be friends there. There won't be friends there. You won't see anyone. And it'll be a hopeless situation. So we don't want to end up there, but we can be very thankful the Lord has provided a way. And you know what it says about hell? It says that hell was made for Satan and his angels. It wasn't even made for us. It wasn't even made for sinners. But there's no other place for them to go. They can't go to heaven because they can't be with God. Because he's holy. And they have not been washed in the blood of the Lamb. So it's a good lesson to remember that we all fall short, but we are accepted in the beloved. The Lord has provided a way. And the Lord Jesus came to this earth and died and bore our sins, bore that punishment of sin on the cross so we could be saved. Well, does anyone have another song or two we could sing? Into a tent
where a gypsy boy lay, lying alone at the close of the day. News of salvation we carried, said he. Nobody ever had told it to me. Tell it again, tell it again. Salvation story, repeat or endure.
Another one, anyone?
Around the throne of God in heaven will many children sing. Children whose sins are all forgiven will have the anthem spring, singing glory, glory, glory be to God on high. In shining robes of spotless white, each one will be arrayed, will live in everlasting light, and joy can never fade, singing glory, glory, glory be to God on high. What brings them to that world above the hand so bright and fair, where all is peace and joy and love? How came the children there singing glory, glory, glory be to God on high? Because the Savior shed his blood to wash away their sins, now wash in that most precious blood, behold them white and clean, singing glory, glory, glory be to God on high.
All right, does anyone... Did anyone have a memory verse they wanted to say?
John 6 and 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. John 6 and 27.
Anyone else?
John 6 and 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For God the Father. For him that hath God the Father sealed. John 6 and 27.
All right. Well, maybe we'll just close in prayer, and then everyone can get their candy after.